Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
All righty, Bowerly and Bellavia, News Radio 930 WBEN. So, good news, David should be back at the end of this month, beginning of September, for a lengthy string of shows. And after that, we will play it by ear. So, we just wanted to pass on what I've got for you so far here on News Radio 930 WBEN. So 9 minutes after five, we've been talking about this window open and all these lawsuits that have been filed against, at this point, the Catholic Diocese. And the show, if you're just joining us, seems to have broken down into two camps. The one camp is that there are plenty of victims, that these victims deserve justice, that the only way we get justice in this country and in our legal system is by compensating people financially, and that these victims, these people need to be heard, they need to be believed. The other camp, which is set up on this program, is this is nothing but a big money grab, and some people have used the word witch hunt to describe what is going on vis-a-vis the Catholic Church, and people have expressed some doubt as to whether the stories that are being told by some of the victims have veracity. Those are the two basic camps that have been set up on the program, and we're kind of asking you where you are on this. 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. We go back to Colleen in Buffalo, who says she was a victim along with her sister.
Yes. Hi, Tom.
Yes.
Okay. I would like to say that I've confided in the priest throughout my life about my story, and they've been very supportive. And if everyone has definitely believed me, and so I've been very fortunate about that, but I have felt the need to be truthful about that and not to hide it, because I don't know, I always felt as though I would be just almost lying, like a lie of omission, because I've been I go to church weekly, and I'm a practicing Catholic, so if I just need to be honest. I'm a talker, and I've had so many wonderful priests in my life, and I feel bad for them because I know for a fact that they suffer too, because these are their colleagues, and they're hurt also because they've been, you know, the people that they had befriended and trusted, and now they've let them down also. And these priests are up on the altar, and they're, you know, they've got a job to do every week, every day, for that matter. And it's got to be really tough for them. So I'm very grateful.
So what do you say to the skeptics out there? You certainly have heard some of the skeptics calling in on today's show.
Yes, I heard a couple of them. I was in my car when I put your show on, and I heard a couple of this. First of all, this Bill guy that just called you before me, I think his name was Bill, I started crying listening to him. I feel so bad for him, and I will definitely be praying for him. But
that was the guy who told his wife, and his wife left him.
Yes, that is no, my husband, when it was coming out into the news, I told my husband. I hadn't told him before that. And I had to tell my kids, too, because it was going to be in the paper. And I had to tell them. And everyone has stood, you know, my family has been right there for me and stood beside me and, and supported me. And I've been surprised at how well my husband has accepted it. He wasn't Catholic when we were married. And
so how do you prove it? How do you go about proving something that happened all those years ago?
I guess the details I told, and the fact that there was two of us, and neither one of us, my sister's younger than me, I don't know how to prove it. I know that there's other, I just heard the term, it was substantiated. I'm not sure what that means. I think they're because other victims came forward. For each case that has been substantiated, it wasn't just me, myself and my sister.
So did you get justice or what you consider to be justice at all?
I don't feel as though I need justice. I honestly don't. I guess, Tom, you know, I do, because I've been so blessed in my life with the wonderful people that I have, and the fact that I do believe. I'm a strong believer. My faith is very strong. And I can't say what other people should or shouldn't do. That's not up to me to judge what other people are doing. Do you understand me? I'm not going to say they should or they shouldn't. That's between them and their attorney and their higher power. And I hope that people can I hope they find the justice that they need. My sister, fortunately, I was very worried about her. She was hospitalized for a month after, I know something else I wanted to say to you. It is so easy to just repress. It really is, because you are, you know, 14, 15, 16-year-old girl. My sister was 11 when it started, and you just don't know any better. You trust these people, and you think that they know they know better than you do. He was almost like a parent figure.
Oh, an authority figure, absolutely.
Yeah, because we came from a troubled home, and we just trusted him. And
Colleen, I got to get on to some other folks. I'm glad you called in.
One last thing, Tom. You and I have run into each other, and I wanted to go up to you and tell you who I was, but I respect your boundaries enough not to.
That's fine. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome. Bye.
All right, 803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN. I have no boundaries. Here is Bob in Buffalo. Next up, Bob, you're on WBEN. Welcome.
Thank you, Tom. What a horrible situation that everyone finds themselves in. Look, in terms of the money grab comments, 98% of the people coming forward with stories of victimization are telling the truth. There's no doubt about that. Are there some that maybe are embellishing? Possibly.
How do you quantify the 98%, though? Because that's my first question.
Yeah, obviously I don't have analytics to prove it, but that's my hunch.
Okay.
It is such a dramatic thing to say about oneself that this happened, that I have a strong suspicion that people are just not going to fabricate that kind of stuff. Would we prefer that they came forward without the financial carrot being dangled out there? Yeah, I think so, probably. It would have given people more credibility. But perhaps they needed motivation to do it, and this was the motivation to do it.
But on the other hand, and I go through this all the time, in our society, the only thing we can really compensate people with is financial, because we can't reverse the hands of time. We can't give people their innocence back. We can't give people a broken limb back. All we can do is compensate them with money. I mean, to which point the bigger issue is, how do you prove or disprove that something happened after an extended period of time has gone by?
Well, a couple points. First, my second point is, let's stop blaming the lawyers, okay? They have a job to do. Yes, they're in business, no question about it, but they're not the culprits here. They are simply, you ask the victims how they feel about their attorneys. You ask them how they feel about the assistance being provided by these men and women who have taken up their cause. Are they going to make money? Sure they are. Just like you're paid for what you do, and just like plumbers are paid for what they do. Can you guess what I do for a living?
Well, you're either, I was going to come up with a wise comment, but my guess would be you are an attorney.
I'm not a plumber. I am an attorney. And really, I've dealt with this my whole life, because I'm in that field, that exact field.
Well, my daughter just took the bar exam. We'll see if she passed it the first time out. So, you know, obviously I've got nothing against lawyers.
My guess is she will. But you know, look, nobody likes a lawyer nowadays until they need one. And when they do, there's no better friend in the world. So stop blaming the lawyers for this. They are simply taking up a cause, And yes, they're going to get paid for it, no doubt about it. But lastly, in the law, there's an old saying that says, difficult cases make bad law. And to just there's a reason historically in our country and in our justice system that there are statutes of limitations. There's sound reasons for those limitations. People's memories fade. Evidence is lost. You just cannot accuse someone of a crime other than murder beyond 5 years. There's a normal lawsuit. There's a 3-year statute of limitations because there has to be some finality. So for now to say because of the horrific violation of people's personal rights by priests or teachers, to now say we're going to throw the doors open, you can go back 40 or 50 years and sue someone who's long dead. Well, like you've been saying all day, how do you prove that?
I mean, if you were to put me on the stand and say, did I say XYZ to somebody 3 years ago, I wouldn't have a clue.
Exactly. And that's exactly why in our justice system, just as delayed as just as denied, well, this has been delayed 50 or 60 years. I understand that. But it's horrific. Are there other remedies? I don't know. The church tried to set up this commission that tried to compensate people. But to just pass a law, and you're talking to a lawyer who's made a living in personal injury, to just pass a law that says you can go back forever to sue somebody just because of the horror of what it took place, it's just not sound. It's just not.
So what is your bottom line on all of this? You've heard the people who've come down who have supported the people who say they're victims. You've heard the people who've said that this is just a money grab by the victims and the attorneys. What is your bottom line, Bob, as a member of the bar?
Well, I just hope that I think that what will happen, what I think will happen is I think that the diocese will file bankruptcy, and that'll rein a lot of the discovery, a lot of the possibility of trial. That'll curtail a lot of that. If that were not to happen, then I think you only hope that juries listen to the evidence, and you hope you put your trust and faith in the jury system. How many times have you heard lawyers in the criminal justice system and the civil justice system say, we didn't agree with the jury's verdict, but we respect it? And that's what you have to have here, that if they do go to trial, you hope that you have juries that listen to the evidence and make their decision based on the evidence, not the emotion of that poor victim. God love him, and I pray for him every Sunday myself, sitting on the witness stand who starts crying. And let's multiply the verdict by 100 because of the horror of it and the sadness of it. That's not what the system is based on. The charge will be you cannot have compassion and that type of thing cannot be taken into consideration. It's got to be based on the evidence. And that's all you can hope for. It's a long shot, but that's all you can hope for.
All right, Robert, thank you very much. I appreciate the call. That opens up a very rare phone line in order, and I apologize for the wait times today. I'm trying to get people down as fast as I can. Here's Liz of Grand Island. You are on WBEN. You know the two camps which you've set up.
Yeah, and I'm on the side of it's not hard at all for me to believe that it's not a money grab because the way I see it, this abuse is a rotten fruit of the corruption that I've been aware of for decades in the church, and it makes me angry because it's not going to stop by punishing the abusers. You have to prevent this by getting at the corruption, which is the bishop's job, and I don't see that happening.
You think this bishop has got to go away?
I don't know if he has to go away for some of the reasons that have been stated, like that he wasn't here when it started, but you know, I'm just seeing a disturbing trend, and unless I see him start to go after some of the corruption, like, I'll give you an example, okay? This accused list that surfaced, there's a ponderous common denominator here. As it turns out, the accused list reads like a check sheet of all the priests my Orthodox mother ever did battle with over their wacky beliefs and liturgical abuses in the 80s and 90s, and that's not a coincidence. The ones who rebelled against the church teaching and practices in public, it turns out, where there's smoke, there's fire. And I can give you examples. There's actually a modern one from this year. But basically, if the bishop doesn't start going after this stuff that's wacky, and this is the cover of the cabal that's going on here. For example, there's a priest on TV in the fall. He was interviewed on one of the local stations for rollerblading in the mass, and that was celebrated. Well, he was also interviewed in the spring for his perspective as one of the attendees at that notorious pizza party the seminarians reported to their superiors. He made light of it in that interview, as far as I'm concerned. He explained it away, the language, the vulgarity, by saying that, oh, the priests have to discuss raunchy issues in order to be able to handle confessions. Not with the types of things that they were talking about and apparently doing at this party. I call BS on that.
Yeah, Liz, if you weren't listening and you were on so long on hold, I am not cutting you off during the news break, okay? You're going to come right back after the news. Is that fair enough?
Fair enough.
Okay, because, actually, that incident involving the seminarians, I received anywhere from 3 to 5 emails defending the priests who were involved in that situation from people who knew those priests. So it was a little bit unusual for me to get that many letters of defense, I guess, or letters of recommendation, I guess, from people who listen to the show. If you're just joining us, I'm not Catholic, so a lot of this is a little bit out of my wheelhouse, if you don't mind my saying. I know the bishop. I like the bishop. Should the bishop stay in power as Bishop of Buffalo? I don't know. Does he have what it takes to steer the diocese through what's going on now? Does he enjoy the confidence of Catholics? I'm not in a position to say. I'm rather fond of the man. I mean, if you want me to be brutally honest with you, I am. Does that mean that I am unsympathetic to those of you who believe that there are situations that have to be addressed that haven't been addressed? No, it doesn't mean that I'm not sympathetic to you at all. I'm just letting you know what my biases are and what where I'm coming from when we discuss this issue. I think that the sexual abuse of children, no matter who does it and under what authority or color of authority they do it, I think it is absolutely revolting and disgusting. It's one of the worst things a human being can do to another human being because you rob a human being of his or her innocence. And I'm afraid. And, you know, I say this as somebody who've been around the world a few times, but one thing I take very, very seriously is preserving a child's innocence as long as a child's innocence can be preserved. There's enough time for other stuff in life, and a child ought to be allowed to be a child. And anybody who would abuse authority in order to abuse a child is just a horrible, evil human being, just to call it the way I see it. Consenting adults are consenting adults. A child is incapable of consent. And we all know this, and we should know it from all the ads for the lawyers. And as far as the lawyers and money grabs, you know, my other bias, of course, is, you know, I got a daughter who just took the bar exam. So I'm not going to sit here and bash lawyers. In fact, I rather hope she passed the first time out. She's not going into personal injury law. She's going into something else. But, I certainly wish her to have a fine legal career and all that kind of stuff. And sometimes I wish I would have done that myself. Talk about these lawsuits against the Catholic Church and other entities over child sexual abuse. I want to thank you, by the way, for all of the phone calls today. You guys have been very generous with your time calling in recent weeks, and I'm deeply grateful for that, and it's nice to know that we resonate and we hit some buttons every now and again. And camps have basically set up with today's conversation. Number one, a camp that says, hey, these so-called victims of priests and church officials, they're simply looking for an easy payday. They are basically trying to milk the system, game the system. And the other school of thought is, wait a minute, in this country, we don't let anybody get away with molesting our children, even if decades have gone by. And all I really want is justice. Justice for the kids who are now adults, and justice for anybody who's been falsely accused of being a pederast. Because, you know, if you've ever been in a situation where somebody has said untrue things about you, usually not as serious as being a pedophile or somebody who is assaulting kids, you know, it's not a lot of fun to have incorrect things said about you, and it is especially onerous to be called a child molester when you know you're not a child molester. So what I want is justice for everybody in Tommy's ideal world. Also, we're keeping an eye on a situation which is unfolding in Philadelphia, where several police officers have been shot in Philadelphia. It is an active situation. It is ongoing. We will continue to keep you posted. Phil, let me know if ABC comes through with any updates on that. The last I heard is that 4 police officers are believed to have been shot. Don't know if any of the injuries are life-threatening in Philadelphia, but we will certainly monitor that situation, and certainly thank you to law enforcement around here for doing the job that you do, and thanks to all law enforcement engaged in the constitutional enforcement of our laws in this country, because that is a job that tell you couldn't pay me enough money in 2019 to even consider doing that for a way to make a living. And I haven't run into a recently retired cop yet who's told me, gee, Tom, I really wish I'd stayed on the job for another week. They're very happy to be off of it and fully pensioned. Let's get back to Liz in Grand Island on WBEN. Liz has been on hold actually for quite a while, and she wants the situation addressed at the church, within the church, at the very, very highest levels. Liz?
Yeah, and if you'll let me make another concrete point, after I reply to the point you made before the break, that interview with that priest, the pizza party thing,
right.
I want to say that I didn't like what I saw there, regardless if the situation was made up, let's say hypothetically it was made up, it was a lie, that his response to me was a laugh. It was a sketchy, inadequate defense of a slimy situation.
In other words, it was inappropriately flippant.
Yeah. And, you know, to me, a sign of a certain state of mind that doesn't fit with the celibacy and the mindset that you need to be a priest, especially in this culture. Okay, so going along with that, what I'm saying, you know, a lot of these priests, they're living these lives of frivolity when they should be striving to lead more ascetic, disciplined lives. If you're going to be a priest, you have to try to steel yourself against the demands, the temptations you're going to run up against with the vocation. We've got priests that have cabins and cottages, and doing God knows what in them. Well, we do know in one case with a couple of the accused priests. I don't know if you care if I name them, but they're on the list.
I'd prefer that you not, simply because of that whole lawyer thing.
All right. Well, they are online on an attorney's website, being identified as accused. They had a house together in East Aurora, and after that, a cottage together. And they were accused of having sodomized teen boys in the home, after drinking and smoking marijuana together. So my question is, where is the oversight? Where's the accountability? Where's the demand that we not have clowns and hedonistic homosexuals among the ranks of the priesthood that should be abstaining, sticking to their vows of celibacy, and sticking to orthodoxy instead of constantly espousing heterodoxy?
That is a very, very fair question, and one that is, as you well know, best put to the church officials as opposed to me.
Yep, and that would be my question for Bishop Malone, and that would be, for me, if I were to see signs of him starting with that, would be a sign that I could perhaps put some trust in his leadership.
If this is the Liz I think it is, nobody can accuse you in any way, shape, or form of being a cafeteria Catholic or a slacking Catholic. I mean, you are what we used to call in the old days a defender of the faith, right up there with Bill and Eden. Am I correct? This is Liz Z?
Yes.
Okay, see?
I think I'm proud to be associated in the same league with Bill from Eden. Hey, Bill from Eden.
Well, no, it is intended solely as a compliment, or I wouldn't have said it.
Yeah, you're right. You've identified me correctly.
Well, I'm delighted that you called. Is there anything you want to say prior to your leaving us? Because you were on hold for such a long time, and you are clearly informed and involved in what is going on within matters of your faith.
I've said everything that I was prepared to say. I hope and pray for healing for the victims. Bill from, I think, Hamburg, that's a really, really tough call to follow, along with Colleen.
Yep.
I hope and pray for their healing and for justice to be done, either here or on the other side of our life here.
Well, and I appreciate the call. And again, I intended that only as the highest of compliments for you, because I respect somebody who is as well versed in your faith as you are and as defending of your faith as you are, yet who also lives in the real world, and you have no problem with calling out bad apples.
That's a high compliment coming from you. I know that they don't come easily with this sort of thing. So thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Liz. I appreciate it. Now, I mean, over a period of years, you do kind of get to, you know the voices and the input of many of your callers. And Liz is one of those, and Bill is another one of those. We do try to keep it to one call per person per week, as you realize. But we are, by the way, hearing more gunshots reported from the streets of Philadelphia, where several police officers have been shot and wounded this August afternoon. We're awaiting a special report from ABC. We get back to the calls on WBEN. And again, I do thank everybody for your patience and for the excellent calls on what is, I got to tell you, it's a very difficult subject for me to talk about. It's a difficult subject for me to listen to, because kids are kind of sacrosanct and should be regarded as sacrosanct in matters of this kind. And Vicki, you're on WBEN.
Hi, Tom. I am a survivor of sexual abuse by a priest, and I've heard a lot of people talk about the people from 40, 50 years ago, and I am one of those people. I was abused in the 70s, and I have to tell you, one of the biggest obstructions I've faced was the administration at the Diocese of Buffalo. When, after going through a lot of counseling and finally getting the courage to call in to the diocese in the 1980s, I was pretty much told, you know, just forget it and go on with your life. Through the years, I kept calling. I kept, you know, reporting, sending documentation I had, and I did apply for their compensation this year. It isn't so much the money as it is the one thing that my church has not done. It has never validated what happened to me. And that is a big thing, I think, in a survivor's healing.
If it hasn't validated it, what has it done? Could you characterize what it has done, if not validated?
The Diocese of Buffalo, basically, anytime I called or contacted them, would almost treat me like a culprit, you know, not a victim of abuse. You know, well, you know, again, question after question, which I understand, and I had the answers for whatever they asked me. But again, they are my church. I love the Catholic Church. And not once did anyone ever say, you know, we're really sorry this happened to you. You know, this shouldn't have happened. Not once. And that's a big thing. I would take that. And to this day, I've never, ever received validation from the Catholic Church.
So in light of everything you've heard today and all the disparate opinions you've heard about the people who are seeking redress of these issues, any of them you want to specifically address?
Just believe the people that, and I think the one gentleman said, about 98%, I believe that, are true. Again, in anything with any type of abuse, you will have people that will come up, a small percentage, that are not true. But these kids, now grown adults, they were abused, and the Catholic Church has hidden it, and they did it at my parish. We not only had the priest who abused me, they sent another pedophile, a priest. The Catholic high school I went to, there were three there. It's like they are not addressing the problem.
Do you see any hope and any chance of your obtaining justice in your case?
The priest that abused me has since died, and I thank goodness that he cannot hurt anyone else. That is one sense of justice for me, that he cannot hurt anyone else. But again, I will speak out against this so that it doesn't happen to other people, because these people look for children they can groom, and they become almost part of the family. And so again, a lot of these kids are afraid to say anything because, you know, the family won't believe them. This is a great guy and whatever. But again, believe the children.
All right. Thank you very much. Happy to call in on an unhappy subject very much. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Let's go back to the calls. People have been on hold for a while, and it is time we hear from Sam in Williamsville. Sam, you are on WBEN. Hello.
Yes, Tom?
Yes, sir.
Okay, sorry. I've been waiting for a while.
Are you on a speakerphone, and if you are, could you get off?
Yes.
It's just the audio sounds a lot better when you're not on a speakerphone. And
yeah, I'm not on a speaker. I'm sorry.
That's cool. It's all good.
Okay. It's a terrible thing. It's all kinds of different emotions. But, you know, if you look at it, I sort of look at it as what's going on within the Catholic diocese is they've really become sort of a dysfunctional organization. They operate on a Christian principle valued system, yet the results, the performance results are just not there. They're not principally centered. And these are despicable actions. And apparently there's been a cover up for certainly years. And it's now just, creeping out into the surface. I don't believe that the bishop is the right leader at this point in time to move the organization forward.
On the other hand, with all respect, is it possible that anybody coming into the position of being the bishop right now could do a better job than what the current bishop is doing?
I think so. And I don't know, in the private world, you would look at, for somebody coming in and looking at the past performance, you'd be looking at somebody that was a true, principled, centered leader that people respected, could communicate extremely effectively, and from almost like a business perspective, is a turnaround specialist. And for him to re-engineer the organization, that's the kind of leader, dynamic leader, I think that would do a good job. Where they find that particular individual, I don't know. I'm assuming that there's got to be some leaders within the organization that would be specialists in this kind of thing. The whole thing just is a blemish for Western New York. It's as nice a place as this is. It's just a blemish that's just not going away. And that's a sad thing.
Well, we'll see what happens over the next year or so in order to put this in the rearview mirror and hopefully obtain justice, whatever form that justice happens to take for both the victims as well as those who've been accused, who might have been falsely accused.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And it'd be nice to sort of like put it on fast forward at this point in time. Let's just go get it done and get it behind us because it's just lingering and lingering and lingering. And It's not going to go away anytime soon, but, the best thing you can do is, just take a real, from a leadership standpoint, just, put a timeline on this thing and get it done.
All right. Thank you very much for the call, Sam. Very much appreciated.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.